The scripture reading for this morning will come from Acts chapter 26, verses 24 through 29. Acts chapter 26, verses 24 through 29. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today, might, because both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains."
I was so very happy and pleased that you're able to be with us this morning. Well, a bit of imagination on your part. Suppose when you got home today, there was a embossed card that was postmarked London, England. And inside that card was an invitation. Well, not so much an invitation as it would be a royal summons from St. James Court, from the Queen of England. How would you feel? The invitation reads, "I want you to come and preach to me." What would you say? What would you contemplate? What kind of lesson would you present to the Queen of England? Would it be full of compliments? Maybe some very nice things that you would want to say about that religion that had been founded by Henry VIII when he wanted to divorce his wife? Would you talk about modern day morality? Would maybe you address some of the political issues that would be facing England? Paul had an opportunity like this. Oh, it is true. We know the background that in this case he was a prisoner. I wonder if that would lessen the tension, or would it increase it as he knows here is King Agrippa and his sister Bernice. They've come to hear. They even have it within their power to release me, if they would care to do that. I've been in prison for 2 full years. We know what happened. I suspect that every one of you have read the account in Acts the 26th chapter numbers of times. You know that while Paul did make some personal reference to himself, it all had to do with the appearance of Christ on the road to Damascus, how Paul himself could not deny that heavenly summons from the King of Kings, and how he himself had become a Christian. It's interesting, of course, as we think for a few moments about the attitude of his listeners. Well, I kind of feel sorry for poor old Festus. He said, "Paul, Much learning has made you mad. You're crazy. Do you know who the crazy one was? Do you know who the ignorant one was in this case? It wasn't Paul, it was Festus. How in the world could a person have lived in the first century in that day and climb and not know concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who had been crucified and who was the founder of that worldwide religion that Paul himself was espousing? Paul said, "Noble Festus, I'm not mad. The king knows of the things of which I am speaking." And then evidently Paul just directed his attention to the king. He said, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" "I know that you do believe." You see, Paul was doing everything within his power to draw that king to him, to draw him to the conclusion that he should rightfully reach. King Agrippa's reply, I think we all know it. Paul, the King James language, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian." Was he sincere? Did he really mean it? Well, perhaps we'll never know. Depending on the translation that you may read, it is almost as if though it is a rebuke to Paul, where he is saying, "Do you think with just a little bit of persuasion, just in this short time, just in this short meeting, that you can make a Christian out of me?" Was that it? Or is he sincere when he says, "Paul, this persuasive lesson is of such a nature that I am almost persuaded to be like you. I draw your attention," because that's where our lesson is today, to the words of verse 29. "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today, might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." Now again, I realize that the revision says whether in a little time or a long time that you would be persuaded to become a Christian. What does Paul mean? That you would be altogether such as I am, except for these chains. You cannot help but read the history of the book of Acts and come away without great admiration for Paul. Of all of the apostles, we say, here is a man that was head and shoulders above those of his generation. No man ever lost so much. No man ever gave up so much, in order that he might become a proclaimer of the gospel of Christ. But we're a little bit ahead of ourselves. What is it that Paul would that Agrippa should become? Well, without hesitation, we say it was the plea of Paul, a begging, if you will, that Agrippa would become a Christian. Do you have that desire for your friends, for your family, for your children, for those that are related to you, for your neighbors, for all of those in metropolitan Richmond and all around you? Is it that same kind of burning desire in you that was in the breast of Paul? "I would to God that not only you, but all that hear my voice were not just almost." Whether with little persuasion or with great persuasion, that you would become exactly as I am, a Christian. Paul, of course, there's no hesitation, there's no doubt in his heart, in his voice, fully persuaded that Jesus is the Christ. And that's what he wanted for Agrippa and Bernice and Festus and all of those who heard his voice that day, that they would become, possessors of that same faith. Do you know you could not have a greater hope for all that are round about you? Your husband who is not yet a Christian, your wife who has not yet obeyed the gospel, your offspring, your neighbors, people that are living in such confusion and in the midst of a sinful world. What could we wish and what could we pray other than this one supreme plea? I wish that you were just like I am, a Christian. Why? Why? Oh, you say, because of the blessedness of such. Count them. The forgiveness of sins. Not imaginary, but real. Actual forgiveness of all of the wrongdoing that you've ever committed in this life and just washed away just in the moment. Complete forgiveness. That acceptability with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No anxieties, no earthly cares that we cannot gladly, boldly take before the throne of grace. All of the summation of all of the problems that we face in this life, we can gladly lay down at the feet of our Lord, knowing that He cares for us. The hope of heaven. All of this Paul has in mind as he says, I would to God that you were altogether such as I am. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Is that sufficient? Oftentimes my religious friends will say to me, well, look, just the moment an individual believes the message, that makes them a Christian. Oh, no. Oh, no. There's something to be done. There was something that Agrippa and Bernice and Festus and all of that pompous crowd had to do. And they knew that. And while Agrippa may indeed have been sincere when he says, almost, but that is not altogether. We have to not only plead with our loved ones that they will be altogether such as we are, but to point out to them, it requires action on your part. You've got to change your way of life. Oh, you can read the secular historians about the relationship between Agrippa and Bernice. You can read about the sin that was in the court. But there had to be a change. There had to be a repentance. There had to be a determination. That this course of life that we're now living we're going to turn from that. Those requirements have not changed today. In order for anyone, our children, our loved ones, our parents, in order for them to become Christians, there has to be a change of life. There has to be that determination. There has to be, if you please, repentance. Our Lord had said that repentance for the remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations. There's no shortcut to becoming a Christian today. There is no softening of the requirements. There is no such thing as saying to our loved ones, well, you can become a Christian, but you can just keep on living as you are. There has to be that moment in time when an individual says, I believe in Christ to the extent that I'm willing to stand up before my friends and acquaintances and indeed before all the world and declare with confidence and boldness, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And until that point, until that time, no one can become a Christian. And yes, there is that act, that supreme act of being lowered into the waters of baptism. Agrippa needed to do that. Bernice needed to take that step upon her repentance and confession of her faith. There needs to be that kind of memory, if you will, that there is a day and a time when I was not a Christian, but now, as I come up out of the watery grave, as I've been united with the death of my Lord Jesus, I am now a Christian, just like Paul. Just like Paul. Not a denominationalist. Paul was never that. What foolishness the world today talks about being a Methodist Christian or a Baptist Christian or a Catholic Christian. To be altogether such as Paul, you'll just want to be a Christian. Oh. We say we have such great admiration for Paul, and rightly so. Because do you know, when Paul says, I want you to be just like I am, that he is saying, I want you to be fully dedicated. Completely persuaded in all of your life, in all of your activities, in everything that you say and do, that Christ is alive in you. Oh, I marvel, I truly do, as I read of Paul's sacrifices, of his suffering. No one that I read of in all of the New Testament record ever gave so much in order that he may be a follower of Christ. I read from 2 Corinthians 11. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths off from the Jews 5 times. I received 40 stripes minus one. When did that happen? The book of Acts doesn't tell us about it. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. We have that record. 3 times. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I only know about one. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I've been a night and a day in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and as if though that were not enough, in perils among my own brethren. What have you sacrificed for Christ? We read that record in Acts chapter 26, and maybe we compliment ourselves and we say, I'm already a Christian just like Paul. Are we really? Are you really just like Paul? Well, I think every one of us have learned that verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But do you really? Are you really? Paul tells us and teaches us what that means. Well, you say he gave up a lot. He must have really longed for that old life. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. I read in Philippians chapter 3 just exactly how he felt about that old life. He tells us just what his reasoning is. Philippians 3 and verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But what things, are you listening? But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ, yes indeed, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Are you really like Paul? You can't go through life. I can't go through life wanting to be only a Christian and yet hanging on to all of those grandeurs of the flesh, of the world. Paul says, those things that I could boast in, he said, they're just rubbish. They're garbage. They're refuse. I just count them as nothing. Young people, go through such a struggle. And sometimes all they concentrate on is things I cannot do. I can't go to the prom because I'm trying to be a Christian. I can't go to the dances. I can't go to the bars. I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, it depends on whether you want to be altogether a Christian or not. Are you wanting to please the world? Are you wanting to please God? Oh, but dear friends who are older, we have that same struggle. We have that same struggle. Wanting to have the things of the world, wanting to have the comfort, the possessions, and all of those things that to so many of us become so dear. And Paul, our teacher, just says they're rubbish. They're rubbish. What moved him? What motivated him? How could he be this great man? I'll tell you what his motive was, but I think you already know. He was acting out of love. You know, Festus was not the only one that accused Paul of being crazy. Over in 2 Corinthians again, this time in chapter 5, I noticed that Paul says this to the Corinthian Christians. Evidently, some of them were saying, "Look at crazy Paul. Look at that crazy fella." So, in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ." You know what that phrase means? Do you ever talk along that line? About what you are doing for the love of Christ? That's why Paul acted the way he did. That's why Festus and why those Corinthians laughed at him and pointed the finger at him and said, "That fella's a fanatic. He's absolutely crazy." The love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live. I hope you're reading with me. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Though we speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, we're nothing. Though we give all of our goods to the poor and have not love, we're nothing. And even if we give our body to be burned and have not love, we're nothing. And Paul said, "I want you to become altogether such as I am." That included his goal. Paul knew where he was headed. I don't think he ever lost sight of his goal. He knew in this life that he had not yet attained that. Again, in Philippians chapter 3, he gives us an insight into what is driving him onward. Verse 12, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I'll tell you, if we're going to become like Paul, we have to do some pressing. We have to do some pressing forward. We have to do some forgetting about the ease of days gone by. And we've got to reach forward to the goal that is laid before us. And oh, I want to become altogether like Paul because he succeeded. I don't guess there were many people that would have gone out with Paul on that day of his execution. And as they laid him down, and as the swordsman raised the sword, and as he severed his head from his body, I don't suppose there were very many people that day that said, "I want to be just like Paul. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Does that include you? Probably most of us this morning say, "I already started that life as a Christian." But how are you doing? Are you altogether like Paul? We encourage you as we sing.